Well, actually, my message is mainly about being a missional church, but I will say at Lafayette Urban Ministry, we say that we are committed to tackling human needs and uplifting human beings. So we're really interested in addressing kind of those basic human needs people need to survive and thrive, housing, food, those kind of things. But we're trying to uplift people to a whole another level of living. When I saw that your church is focused on trying to be a missional church, I was very excited because going through seminary, that's the thing that really made my heart kind of expand. It was a different understanding for me that church isn't just about me and my needs and my comfort, but God has a plan for blessing other people through the church. So that's what I'm going to focus on today. So I'm going to read a couple of my favorite quotes. It says, as a fire exists by burning, so a church exists by mission. Mission was not made for the church. The church was made for mission. What does that mean? Can a fire exist and not burn? No. That's kind of a basic definition of a fire. Can a church exist and not be on mission? Not if it's a true church. It's a basic definition of a church. Mission is not some extra credit assignment for overachieving churches. Mission is the basic assignment, the requirement. It's not that the church has a mission. It's that God's mission has a church. And I love that. And I love that you can hear me. And immediately I think, okay, if, you know, it's not that the church has a mission, it's that the mission has a church. I say, okay, but all right, what is God's mission? Why does it matter? It's like, what and so what? So today I want to share with you one definition, two letters, and four characteristics of a missional church, all right? First, the definition. What is a missional church? A missional church, quite simply, is a church that joins God's mission. Which begs the question, of course, well, what's God's mission? Well, what did Jesus have to say about what is the mission? Be nice people? No. Do good things? No. Go to church? No. All those can be aspects of the mission, but that's not the heart of the mission. What did Jesus say is God's mission? Well, in Matthew, he says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. In Mark, he says, go and proclaim the gospel to all creation. In Luke, Acts, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, starting with where you are and moving your way out. In John, Jesus gives the new command, love one another as I have loved you. Receive the Holy Spirit as the Father sent me. I am sending you. As I try to listen to Jesus, I believe the mission of God involves two things, love and truth. Love and truth. God's mission is to share the love and truth of Jesus Christ. Love. Love as Christ's love, this ridiculous, relentless, generous, life-giving, self-giving kind of love. And the truth as Christ teaches truth, that the world is broken and needs healing. Every human, including me, is broken and needs healing. And Christ Jesus is the healer for the nations. So that's our definition, the one definition. God's mission is to share the love and truth of Jesus Christ. I'm kind of offended that the mission isn't about my own comfort and my own immediate success. God's mission instead is about God's glory, but counterintuitively is, if I dig into that a little more, it actually leads to my eternal comfort and my ultimate success. When I put others first, God takes care of me. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you. So that's our one definition. I said there's two letters. Well, the first letter comes to us from the Apostle Paul, and he's writing from jail in the year 62. He's writing to the followers of Jesus in a city called Philippi. So how we get the name Philippians. And if a church is going to be missional, it's going to pursue four characteristics from this passage. First, missional churches are focused. The Apostle Paul says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the love and truth of Christ. Missional churches are focused on God's mission, come what may. Whatever happens. If wars erupt, if natural disasters rage, if the economy collapses, if the pandemic intensifies, if your loved one dies, if your health fails, if things don't go as you want them to, God's mission is still what is to be our focus. Sharing the love and truth of Christ with others. Sound impossible? Sound exhausting? Well, it's not, because of the second thing. Missional churches are spirit-led. The Apostle Paul says, stand firm in the one spirit, contending as one for the faith of the gospel. God's own spirit will empower us to fulfill God's mission. But we have to stand firm. Not easily distracted, not wimping out if things get hard or get disappointed. We stand firm by relying on the Holy Spirit to guide us and empower us to fulfill God's own mission. That's how it can't be impossible, because God is in it. God's going to make sure it succeeds. So we're focused, we're spirit-led, we're fearless. Do not be frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Be not afraid. People will oppose you as you try to follow God's mission. Count on it. Expect it. Expect resistance. The enemy does not easily give up his territory. But greater is the one who is in us than the one who's in the world. In Christ, we will win. Focused, spirit-led, fearless, and sacrificial. It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Christ invites us to voluntarily suffer with him and for him and for his mission. Now, I naturally try to avoid suffering at all costs. That's just my natural human bent. But here, Christ is inviting me into something that is more valuable than even my own comfort. Something so lastingly glorious and important that it is worthy of my temporary pain and suffering. The prize is worth the price. So missional churches are focused, spirit-led, fearless, and sacrificial. And these kind of churches stand in stark contrast to what I would call maintenance churches. Missional churches versus maintenance churches. Maintenance churches are just all about the status quo. If missional churches are focused on God's mission, maintenance churches are focused on just keeping things together. Missional churches are led by the Holy Spirit. Maintenance churches are led by personal comfort and convenience, or by internal politics or external politics or whatever, whoever happens to be the most anxious room and at the current moment kind of hijacks the agenda. Missional churches are fearless. They expect resistance, and they are not afraid to engage it. Maintenance churches are timid, conflict avoidant. Missional churches are sacrificial. They are ready and willing to suffer for God's mission. Where maintenance churches are selfish, focused inwardly on their own needs and wants, more than the needs of the poor, the lost, the least, those who Christ calls us to care about. God's mission is to share the love and truth of Christ. So why does that mission matter? Why? God's mission matters because any other mission we create is infinitely less lasting and important than God's mission. My comfort, my convenience, my success, my likes, infinitely less important than Christ's mission. God's mission matters because only God can change the human heart. Only God can change the human heart, undoing generations of pain, centuries of structural oppression, bringing fullness of human flourishing. And God's mission matters because his mission is the only one
that truly fulfills the purpose of any person or any church.
I can create 1,000 missions for myself this day, whether it's watching football or whatever, but it won't fulfill me like Christ's mission will. I think the temptation of every church and every human being, including myself, including Memorial Presbyterian Church of Dayton, is to come up with a mission that's not really a mission. That brings me to the second letter. I said one definition, two letters. Here's the second letter. I brought this big Bible down off the shelf. This is not my normal everyday Bible because it weighs about 10 pounds. But sometimes I'll bring it out when I'm like preparing for a sermon. And I unzip this thing. And in the front was this letter from my dad from 1994. I hadn't read this thing in over a decade. And I just took a minute to read it. And I felt like what God was saying to me through this letter, through my dad, might be saying to all of us. Now, 1994, I was 14 years old-ish. And I was trying to think, my math isn't right, but anyway, I was actually 15 years old, almost 16 years old, and on the outside, I looked like a good Christian kid, but God, my dad knew me, and he could see I was struggling on the inside. I was struggling with my faith. I was struggling because I just wanted to fit in. I just wanted to be a cool kid. I wanted a girl, any girl, to like me. I just really wanted to be not weird. And my dad writes this 7-page gentle handwritten letter, and he's inviting me to make a choice between being just a good person and being an actual follower of Jesus Christ. Sorry. And though he doesn't use the language of missional, he's basically inviting me to give up my false mission of self-glory and to embrace the true mission and love of Jesus Christ. It's like I'm Gideon in the wine press, kind of scared to death of the Midianites, and God shows up and says, "You're a mighty warrior." I said, "No, I'm not." "Yes, you are, because God is with you." That's my dad seeing me and saying, "I see you, Gideon. You can be a mighty warrior, because if you be about God's mission, you're about something that will outlast everything else." My dad closes the letter this way: "Choose to grow daily in your relationship with Jesus. The choice is totally yours. For Wes Tillett to become merely a good man or a godly servant with a huge heart. Love always, Dad." I sense this is what the Holy Spirit might be speaking to all of you. The choice is totally yours to follow the Holy Spirit into the grand adventure of being true servants of the Most High God and his eternal mission, his unfailing, victorious mission, or just to be kind of nice, good people. Choose this day whom you will serve. I think the temptation of every church and every human is to have a false mission, and all too often, my real mission is about self-preservation. I've been around many churches, really every church I've ever been a part of struggles with that false mission. There's worship services on Sunday, there's prayer requests, there's church events, there's committees and leaders and offerings and Bible studies and even some acts of kindness that are kind of sprinkled throughout the community every once in a while. But really, most of the people in the church are focused primarily on the survival and comfort of the people in the church. I've been around a lot of churches where it's like, yeah, we want to reach the generations and the nations as long as those people show up here on Sunday morning, give, and they don't want to change anything about this church. And one researcher put it this way. He said, "For the majority of churches in North America, the agreed-upon mission relates to perpetuating the tradition, maintaining the institution, and caring for our people." I'm kind of like, ow. That's like every church I've ever been a part of struggles with that. I think God is inviting us all to not be those kind of people. He's inviting Memorial Presbyterian Church of Dayton to not be that kind of church, but instead to be a missional church. And God is willing to give his own Holy Spirit within us to help us fulfill that mission. I mean, think about this for a minute. Think about our pastor here, called from the other side of the world, somebody who is so full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, so full of that fiery passion of the Holy Spirit, full of just brilliant intelligence, one of the smartest human beings I've ever met in my life. And called this person to Dayton
Indiana. I see this as a miracle. What prophet 50 years ago, 5 years ago, would have said, there will one day be a line of African dancers weaving through this church, giving praise to God? I was here in June to see it. But God is doing a new thing in this church. Do you see it? Do you see it? Gladys doesn't look like most of the people here. But Gladys represents the nations that God is calling this church to reach out to. And I believe she's going to lead this church to be a missional church about sharing the love and truth of Christ. Yes, it'll be hard. Yes, it'll be inconvenient and uncomfortable. And yes, you'll face resistance from the world, from your own inner infighting sometimes, from your own internal struggle for comfort and convenience. It's natural. And it's how it's been for 2,000 years. But the prize of God's eternal glory is worth the price of our temporary discomfort and suffering. The prize of God's eternal glory is worth the price of our temporary discomfort and suffering. And when we embrace God's mission, it's like a sailboat catching the wind in its sails, and you're off into a whole new direction, a whole new dimension. There's no greater thrill, no greater adventure, no more worthy cause. So the church's choice, what is the mission going to be? Your personal choice, what's your mission going to be? You don't have to figure it out. Thankfully, God gives you the answer. Go and share the love and truth of Jesus Christ. You don't have to figure out how. God will help you with how. But if you know what it is and why you to do it, how will naturally take care of itself. God is inviting every single one of you off the bench into the game of living for God's love and truth. Do you feel unworthy? Do you feel like Gideon? Small? Insignificant? One of the least likely to do anything important? Weak? Unable? If you feel like that, good. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who know they are weak and unable and sinful and dirty and untalented enough to make it happen, because those are the people that have to rely on God for any good to result. Watch out, good will result. 100 years from now, 2121, what's going to be different in this community because the brothers and sisters that are gathered here this morning decided they were going to live for God's mission? What generations will be blessed? What nations will be discipled? What marriages will have been saved? What teenagers will have been rescued from depression and suicide? What lonely outsiders will have found community? What lost, aimless souls will have found clarity and purpose in Jesus Christ? God's mission is to share the love and truth of Jesus Christ. It won't be easy, but it is worthy. As a fire exists by burning, so a church exists by mission. Fire consumes. Will you throw your whole self into the fire of God's love and truth to be consumed, to be used up, to give light and heat to a cold, dark world in desperate need of healing? Let's pray. God of love, lift us up. We can't do this on our own strength. Send us your Spirit and make us into what you want us to be. Love, lift us. In Jesus' name, amen.